Hello there, my lovely spinners, and welcome back to my podcast. Now, if this is your first visit with me, then you are very, very welcome, and I hope you enjoy it and that you'd like to come back again next month. And again, if you have been with us already, you are also really, really welcome. I'm glad to have you all here with me today. We are going to be discussing all the ups and downs of life on my little farm, and of course, we will be discussing all things spinning related. So, what can I tell you about the month since our last chat? Goodness, where to start? Been a busy one. Well, I just can't save the best till last, as the best bit is just so exciting. It was announced here in the UK that the ongoing COVID restrictions will start to be relaxed in April, which is such a huge relief to us all. And I really hope that wherever you are in the world, that things are beginning to get a bit easier for you too. It means that regardless of the good old British weather, six people can meet up outside. It means we shall all be rushing to the gardens of our family members, no doubt. Now, that poses a problem for me though, as one of my lovely daughters has six children. So I'm not sure how a family of eight and two grandparents can actually get together. Oh gosh, that makes me a bit sad, but we will only have to wait until May the 17th until 30 people can meet outdoors, or six people and two households can meet indoors. So there must be a way forward in there somewhere for us. It does mean though that our youngest daughter will be able to have a very special first birthday party for her little boy. He was born in May 2020. We'll all be able to get together, and that will be a very special party indeed, won't it? And it's hoped that all the restrictions will actually be lifted on June the 21st. So I remain optimistic, but mindful of possible changes at the same time. I still sort of feel that things aren't necessarily going in the way we want them to go, but time will tell. So we'll keep everything crossed and just carry on, won't we? Now, from a business perspective, I am thrilled that I can welcome back some of my spinning social group members in April for a very much needed get together. Now, as we can only have five plus me, the day has been divided into a morning and an afternoon session to be able to accommodate the correct numbers outdoors. Now, that also means that I can actually get the gazebo out of the box that I actually bought for last year, which was cancelled. So I best get that out, make sure it's all in good order, and get that up on the patio. How exciting. And it will also mean, of course, that baking for Cake O'Clock will commence very soon. And of course, I'm going to have to make sure those cakes go straight in the freezer in plenty of time before James thinks I have been baking for him. And if you all know my husband, you will know how much he adores his cake. So I shall have to hide it. Now, the month of March also saw the launch of my new community spinning group. Now, I set this up as an alternative to Facebook, as I know that not everybody does that. It's a way of inspiring and motivating our spinning in a friendly, supportive way. I haven't called it a challenge, as I think sometimes that can sound a little competitive in some ways. And that's not the intention at all, unless, of course, you want to challenge yourself. That's fine. The premise is that each month I shall post a video of a theme for the coming month, which group members can interpret as they choose. This month I chose the theme of springtime, and I simply used a variety of fibres in bright spring flower colours. So I had silks and a variety of wools and mohair from my goats, and used daffodil yellows, bright green for the leaves, white, which represented the snowdrops. What else did I have? Oh, my favourite, bright pink for little cyclamen flowers that were in bloom. They're just beautiful. They really cheer you up, don't they? And I carded it into a funky art hat and spun it in a rather easygoing style, which was a bit out of my comfort zone, but really appropriate for the hat that I had created, actually, because there were so many different textures in there that I needed to, or wanted to use those textures and be able to see them in the fibre. So there was no consistency going on that day. Now, I've yet to complete it, but it will be done by the end of the month. So if you have joined the group already, thank you, and I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're finding it really helpful. And if you haven't, then of course you can just head over to the website where you can very easily sign up. Only takes a second or two. And I'll put a link in the description for this podcast as well, so you can find it easily. And what else have we been up to? Well, we have replaced at last the whole roof over the spinning barn and the adjoining barn that's currently unused. So I have big plans for this adjoining barn. I'm hoping it's going to be more of an open-fronted structure, possibly, because it does attract all the sun from that side. I think that'll be lovely to be able to sit sort of indoors, outdoors, if you see what I mean. So it'll be a nice sheltered spot. Can't wait for that. It'll also give me much more room for my fibre preparation and more room for more visitors, so we can have more woolly fun. I have to say, it was quite a feat actually, because the roofing sheets were 7 meters long, I believe, and it took James and I and the assistance of a broom handle to maneuver each one up onto the roof as James was precariously straddling over the struts in the roof. But it was a glorious day, and the sun was bright and the sky, oh, it's so blue. That's one of the things I love about Norfolk, is, you know, when you look up and the sky just looks so big. I know that sounds silly, but it does, and it was so beautiful. So it was a good day. I'm really pleased that it's done. Now, we have had a very sad time here too as well. We did have to say our final goodbyes to one of our beautiful North Ronaldsey sheep, Rhodey. She was 9 years old and one of the sheep who never gave me any trouble. She was a little sweetheart. She was a beautiful fawn colour and had produced us some glorious, beautiful fleeces over those years. And I miss her little face. She declined very quickly and the vet was called to help her on her final journey. I firmly believe that all my sheep were born at home and they will die at home. She went to sleep in her little barn on a bed of straw with me beside her. I know that owning animals is always going to end in heartbreak at some point, but it never makes that day any easier. I'm happy that I did my best for her as she did for me, so thank you, Rhodey. And let's finish my news with something very positive indeed. And James has just let the dogs in, so I do apologise if you can hear them scampering around on the tiles. Now, I'm terrible at keeping secrets, as you know, so how I've managed to keep this for over a year, I don't know. Well, actually, I do know, because I haven't. I've told a couple of people along the way, just a select few, of course. But I have been published in Spinners Ply magazine, in case you haven't heard already. And what is more, I haven't even seen the article yet. It is available online, but I'm determined to wait until the magazine arrives in the post. Nothing better than flicking through real paper pages, so I am exercising a great deal of self-control here. So this article was about a year in the making. I submitted my idea for the double-coated issue, and it was accepted. I then had to plan it, prepare, spin, and knit the wool, and send off all of my samples to Kansas City. It was really exciting, but also really nerve-wracking. I can remember taking these boxes to the post office, and gosh, I felt physically sick as I handed them over. It was awful. But yes, they were accepted, which is fantastic. And the article itself took me several attempts to write, which, you know, until I felt really satisfied with my efforts. And yeah, I'm really happy with it. I feel really quite proud of it, actually, and I just can't wait to see it. I mean, and all along, I just didn't believe that it would be published, but to my enormous surprise, it has been. So if you haven't seen it already, the link is in the description, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you find something useful in there for you. So it seems quite fitting that this month I would like to discuss the double-coated fleeces with you. So what are they and where do they come from? These incredible fleeces come from the primitive breeds such as the North Ronaldsey and Icelandic, not necessarily primitive, but it's a breed that I keep along with my North Ronaldsey, the Shetland, Soe, the Scottish Blackface, and the Hebridean, among others. There are lots more around the world. And they belong to a group of sheep known as a European short tail, which means that they have naturally occurring short tails and do not require any docking. And that's a trait that was actually really important to me when I chose my sheep. The double coat consists of a very soft undercoat, which is soft enough to be worn next to the skin, and a longer outer layer that Mother Nature designed to repel the rain. And that's much stronger and is much more resilient. The North Ronnesy, obviously, as you know by now, is very close to my heart. I adore these five little characters. And I'm just thinking, and it just occurred to me that, as experience has taught me, these little sheep are in fact escapologists in a woolly disguise. Normal fencing seems to offer a potentially attractive pastime of seeing who can jump the highest or who can fit through the smallest hole possible. And yes, we do now live in Fort Knox, so I wonder how the Iron Age man contained these sheep. Or was their life more nomadic to follow them? I'm going to have to find out now that I've posed that question to myself, aren't I? I know that on their native island, the stone wall called the Sheep Dyke was built in the 1830s to contain the sheep on the seashore, hence the reason that most people now know them as the seaweed-eating sheep. And this was to enable the cattle to eat the lush grass rather than the sheep. And that wall was built up to 6 feet tall. Now, they obviously understood this breed very well, I think. Anyway, so why are these fleeces so special? Well, let's have a look at their attributes and see what you think. So fleeces from these breeds are generally smaller, weighing in at about 3 to 5 pounds. Icelandics are larger at about 5 to 7 pounds. And this means that you won't get bored before you finish spinning it. Now, if you ever spun a humongous fleece, remember spinning through a huge white face woodland fleece, it went on forever and ever. Beautiful, beautiful fleeces. But it was just a lot of white wool. So the colour variations, they offer so much choice as well. So the North Ronnesy range in colour from white, fawns, greys and blacks, but those colours are not solid, unlike dark Hebridean, which gives a chocolatey brown almost. Shetlands too, they have a tremendous colour range, so there is something for everyone. And the fibre gives the most beautiful natural tweed effect, which isn't always obvious until you have spun it, which makes it really exciting. You don't always see what you're working with right up until the end. I love that fact about it, actually. And it takes dye really well too, so your wardrobe need not be monochrome at all. As with any fleece, the quality can vary between the breeds and the individual flock. And one would generally find the rear end of the fleece to be more coarse as it takes more wear and tear, whereas the front and especially the neck area present the finer fibres. The crimp in double coated wools is at first glance rather disorganised in the undercoat, but it's definitely there and it gives it that beautiful loft. You might have to look for a little bit, but it's there and you can see it in its structure. The outer layers tend not to display crimp, as these are more hair-like and therefore much stronger. Now, it can contain hair or kemp, which can contribute to making the yarn a bit itchy against the skin. Now, if you're planning a garment from your double coat, then you must consider the preparation. Combing will remove most of the hairs, or you may choose to have this done at a meal, which will actually remove most of them, if not all of them, for a much softer finish. I have to say that I choose not to remove anything. I truly want to celebrate the wool for what it is, and that is wool as wool has been for thousands and thousands of years. So I just choose the appropriate fleece or part of the fleece for the project that I have in mind, if I have one. The two coats are relatively simple to separate, depending on the particular fleece, of course, and definitely easier if the fleece has been washed, as the grease in the unwashed fibres will hold those two coats together. So the fleece from my North Ronnesy use is generally more uniform, but the weathers, that's the boys who can no longer make baby sheep, by the way, can produce manes of stunning ringlets. And I've got my eye on a couple in particular that are growing in my field at the moment. They are stunning, absolutely beautiful. The coats can either be separated by pulling them apart gently by hand or by using wool combs. Now, I have to say that if I am being very careful and want to preserve both coats for different projects, then I always separate them by hand rather than risking the shorter, softer fibres becoming mixed in with the waste, as can happen when you're combing. And it's definitely much easier with the Icelandic, as the contrast in length of the layers is more obvious. The short undercoat, which is called the fell, is very fine with a micron of about 18, but the outer layer, the tog, can be about 10 to 12 inches long with a micron in the mid 30s, so it gives you so much variation there, doesn't it? And this simply pulls apart, preserving the properties of both. And it's rather fascinating and relaxing to do this, actually, especially with a glass of Pinot or a cup of tea for company. Choice is yours. So why would we separate the layers? Firstly, I have to say that you do not have to separate layers. You can simply prepare the whole fleece or spin from the lock if you prefer. And that is the beauty of it. You have so many choices here. But as always, I have to suggest that you sample the fibres in several ways to be sure that you are happy with the results before preparing the whole fleece, and then realising that you could have prepared and spun it very differently. If you choose to blend both coats together, you may achieve better results by actually carding them together and forming rolags to long draw spin. Or if you want to go way off piste, a short forward draw for more stability and strength, because spinning from the end of your prepared fibres will result in the longer fibres being pulled forward, leaving the shorter fibres behind, and this will result in a very inconsistent yarn. But again, you'll have to play around with this a bit, really, and depending on that fleece and the outer length, because obviously, as we've discussed before, the general rule of carding is that your card fibres shorter than 4 inches or so. And with Icelandic particularly, you've got much longer layers there. So do play with that and just check the results that you get along the way and find what is right for the fibre in front of you. Okay? Don't worry about it. Just have a play. See what happens. Now, if you choose to separate the coats, then you have the option to prepare the fibre and spin it correctly for its type, if that is what you want. By which I mean that you can card shorter coats and spin a true, magical, lofty woolen yarn. And you can comb the outer coat and spin a true, stronger worsted yarn, just perfect for those outer garments or anything that's going to take a bit more wear and tear. So hopefully you can see from that that there is a yarn to be made for a whole range of applications, from a warm woolly hat or a lacy scarf, a thick sweater to brave the elements, to woven fabrics, garments or soft furnishings. The possibilities really are endless, and in choosing to use these pieces, you will of course be helping to preserve these ancient breeds too. And as you know, that is so important to me. It was actually one of the considerations when I chose the North Ronnesy as my breed of choice for my farm. So apart from offering a huge range of spinning possibilities, I wanted to do my bit to preserve a breed which has remained unchanged by man for thousands of years. And if they have survived thus far, then they deserve to be on this green and pleasant land for a lot longer to come, in my opinion. And I hope that you agree with me. So I do hope that if you have not already encountered a double-coated fleece, then I hope that I've inspired you to try one. So why not make this year the year to treat yourself? Now, as we approach shearing time, you'll find that with a little bit of research, you can reveal the breed societies for these fabulous sheep breeds, and they will offer you a contact from which to purchase a fleece. And of course, I am ever hopeful that shows will resume in the not-too-distant future, where you'll be able to choose your fleeces in person and perhaps even straight off the sheep. And isn't that a comforting thought? And with that thought, I suppose I have that community spinning group project to finalise and another to plan and record. So I had best set to with those, hadn't I? I do hope that you have felt inspired by this little episode. And as ever, I would love to hear your thoughts and also your ideas for future episodes. After all, these are all for you. So if you have any burning issues, any problems, anything that you think other people would like to hear about, I would be more than happy to hear from you and put something together so that we can share as well. Because that is what it's all about, isn't it? So have a wonderful month. Enjoy Easter. And I really hope that you too are able to meet up with your loved ones very, very soon. Stay safe and well, and keep spinning. Bye for now.